Dear Father, we're glad tonight that we have a Savior who rose from the dead and now intercedes for us, knowing that that is a complete mission accomplished, an office that does not fail, salvation guaranteed, redemption at hand. We appreciate that tonight, Lord. We thank you for your visitation amongst us, the Holy Spirit, God Himself in our midst, helping us, opening our hearts and our minds, seeing that everything is going to be just right and the consummation completely carried off 100% right. We're glad for that tonight. We appreciate that too, Lord. We, in fact, in all the years we've known you, we have never appreciated you as we have at this hour and relied upon you, and we're grateful for that opportunity. It's certainly wonderful to know that you have not left us. You never have left us, but even come more and more to the church until you are here, fulfilling your own promise yourself, trusting no one else but doing it. We're thankful for that tonight. So we rest assured, Lord, that you will show us concerning yourself the revelation we have at hand of you as that great judge. And we thank you now that you will take us into the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to talk about the judge tonight, and this is message 5A. And I suppose by now there's about 8 messages actually, because we do these in series. And why he is present, number 5A, the judge. Now, we'll read in Revelation 1, 12 to 18, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Notice this is strictly conversational, putting him in the prophet class of Moses, who spoke with God lip to ear, and they talked back and forth. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. That's actually lampstands, because the candle would burn out. This is a lamp wherein the wick does not ever become extinguished and the oil never ceases to flow, self-perpetuating. In the midst of the 7 lampstands, lamps, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, the girdle about his paps with a golden girdle. And his head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Now, last Sunday, you recall, we read paragraphs 165 to 172 in the Revelation of Jesus Christ and found that when John turned to see the voice, he saw the one of the voice as judge in the midst of the 7 lampstands. Now, we note that he was identified as a judge because of his dress. On his head, which is headdress, he wore a white wig. He was clad in an ankle-length garment. He had a golden sash around his breast. The position of the sash is of particular importance because had it been around his waist, he would have been recognized as high priest unto the Lord, mediating and interceding. But this revelation of Jesus Christ, now, don't get carried away. So many people get carried away. They think they have to have everything run into a chronology. And consequently, they get all mixed up. Because you cannot many times find a sequential chronology which runs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as in the scenes of a drama, which we'll talk about, where there is a certain continuity. Rather, you are being introduced to him in this particular position at this time. And you mustn't run away with the idea that just as soon as this breaks, well, there's no more mediating, there's no more interceding. See, now this is where people go and misunderstood Brother Branham so thoroughly. And so when after the seals, the question came up, Brother Branham, is it now that we don't try to win any more souls? And he said, oh my, he said, whoever gave you that idea? Well, he did. Inadvertently. Because the people were taking everything and applying everything, as said, according to their own understanding, not waiting to see what he said, so there would be the ultimate conclusion of what he said, rather than their own drawing of conclusions. So I'm warning you on this tonight, the same as Brother Branham said, whatever gave you that idea. I want to squash any idea that this is any more than a revelation. And as to the sequences, we'll come into more of that as time goes on and why this particular revelation is as it is. See? So, I pretty well got you understanding now, I hope anyway, that you're not going to try to second guess me or beat me to the punch or draw a conclusion, that you'll just listen, right? Okay, now that's good. All right. Now, but this revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave John places him at the last day in Revelation 1 and 10, the Lord's day. Now, this is why there is the definitive revelation. It has to come at a certain time of the Lord's day. So you look down the road and you say, now, he's got to be judged and it will be manifested way down the road. Now, you won't know when that's going to take place because that's a secret. So it takes a prophet. See? So the prophet said, this is he as judge. Now, don't draw conclusions. So he's judge, wonderful. Let's hear the rest of the story. See, all right. Now, notice, immediately, and never forget that what John saw was preceded by a great voice like a trumpet. Now, what he saw at that time, then a great voice like a trumpet. So, you put it all together. In the spirit, that's what John was. A great trumpet-like voice in a vision. Three things. John was in the spirit, trumpet-like voice, a vision breaks. And with that, you come up with 2 Peter 1:15 to 21, Amos 3 and 6, Exodus 19:16 to 20, Numbers 12:5 to 8, Deuteronomy 7, rather Daniel 7:9 to 14, and so on. Now, let's read what I have said. John in the spirit, he's caught up in a trance in a position, taking him way down the future, seeing at the end time, a trumpet-like voice, a vision breaks. Okay? Let's check this out, how this works with the Word of God. 2 Peter 1, 15 to 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, my death, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Now He's telling you right there, when the presence and power was known, in Matthew 16, which was indicative and preceding precisely the millennium. Right? Not right? Okay, let's go back. I lost you, didn't I? Now, aha. I thought I had you better trained. We're going to have to wrap some knuckles. Spiritually speaking, all right. And verily I said to you, there should be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Right? Matthew 16 and 29. And so He carries them up apart. They're carried up now into a higher elevation. And there they see this, which is the vision of the future, that which is indicative. Right? Sure it's right. I said so. Bible says so. All right. He tells you, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't there. Three people were there. That's all. Let's keep reading. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. What did that voice had it said? Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As it said to Brother Bram, this is my beloved Son whom I pleased, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto. Now, we have also the word of prophecy made more sure, he says. How could you make the word of prophecy more sure? Well, España. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's telling you right here that absolutely the only way that you are going to have that word of prophecy made more sure, that which was spoken by the prophet, is God himself bringing it. Now, until this transpires, the day star rise in your heart, the day of the dawn come, and this is type and typing of the presence, John sign, and that which precedes the millennium. See? This is his presence that John was looking at in this hour, and Peter is talking about it. The presence will be fully vindicated by God. This is that one. Well, how are you going to know it's that one? God's going to fulfill the Scripture concerning it. Okay? Let's go to Amos 3 and 6. Everybody loves to talk about secret rapture, secret this and secret that, and oh, everything is so hush-hush. If you bring them over here, they'll watch them turn tail and run like a whipped dog, a scalded dog. Amos 3 and 6 and 7, shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now the prophets are brought in. Because God can't ever speak without a prophet. Amen. And a prophet can't speak without God. Therefore, God and the prophet are so absolutely identified. He becomes God to the people, and the word of God is the word of the prophet, and the word of the prophet is the word of God. And if you believe that prophet, you believe God. And if you turn down that prophet, you turn down God. Amen. All right? Exodus 19, 16 to 20. Exodus 16, 19 and 20. I think is what I want. Let me check it out again. 19. Can't find that in the 16th chapter. All right. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon the fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded loud, long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. Moses went up. That can't repeat. Now people say, hey, tell you what. Let God do so-and-so. Let God do so-and-so. Shut up. Stinking bunch of rotten Pharisees and Sadducees. They said, give us a sign. What is that? I've been giving you every sign in the book. Oh, tut, tut, we want our own sign. He said, I'll give you a sign, death. And they died. God said categorically, and it doesn't change, that when you deal with God as a people, you deal with God through a man, the same as he did it in Jesus. He did it all the way through the prophets. And he's done it all the way through seven church ages. And when he does it the last time, it's through a man. He's got to be a prophet. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Let's go to Numbers 12, 5D. Well, I'm not mad, I just feel good. When I feel good, I yell. It seems to sort of make the point better. It doesn't, I could whisper it. Look at the word of God could come out of a doorknob, it's still the word of God. We just get carried away because we're a little bit too sensate. Is that the good word, sensate? Sensational. All right. 12th chapter. 5, verse 5, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, speak unto him in a dream. Moses, my servant Moses, is not so who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? All right, now there you got that kind of a prophet. God absolutely not even dealing in visions, but coming right down, appearing face to face and talking the same as John did. It was a conversational voice. So is this a conversational voice? See? Okay, let's go to Daniel now. Daniel 7, 9 to 14. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels was a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, 1,000,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld that even the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season of time. Now this is through the seven church ages. He comes to the end where judgment begins to appear. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom of all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting, meaning which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. Now, you can't get too much chronology out of there, but you come up with the understanding this, that before the kingdom is passed over to the Son, which is the millennium, the judge has got to be somewhere. Exactly what John saw. Exactly Peter. For the day dawned or the day star rise, before Jesus has his day, in absolute control, and we like the Adams, not in the first Adam, but in the last Adams, come and live and reign with him, there is a judge in the picture. Now don't try to figure it, just accept it. There is a judge in the picture. Okay? Now, Revelation 12 to 18. That's chapter 1, 12 to 18, which we won't need to read. This is the same one that John saw, Daniel saw, in a different period. Daniel saw him in two periods. He saw him previous to the kingdom being turned over, and he saw him at the white throne. And it was the same one that he saw. It's the same one John saw, that Daniel saw, that Peter spoke of. Concerning his presence and his authority. So therefore we have a key. And that key is the judge has to come into view somehow, somewhere. He's got to be it before the millennium and at the white throne. Okay, back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12:18-29. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. You like my preaching?
Amen.
Then you don't mind if I keep speaking like this.
Amen.
There's some who do. I'm a little sarcastic, but I want you to learn something. The Bible is being fulfilled to the last jot and tittle.
Amen.
Sure. The big sneer is on. For they could not endure that which was commanded, as much as the beast should touch the mountain, and should be stoned or thrust through the dark. See, man hasn't changed. And so terrible is the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. but you are come unto Mount Zion, not to that Mount Sinai. Because that was death to man and beast. You come unto life, or even I believe even the beast coming forth, and I don't mean the beast, I say beast, animals and birds, everything else is going to come forth in their own resurrection. God knows how he's going to do it, but I'm going to tell you. If we can put as many people on 1/6 of the entire surface of the earth as we've gotten, put a whole lot more, when God turns this whole thing into earth again, I think you could bring back every single thing he ever made on earth, except we're not going to have the beast and his bunch back. He said we didn't have to tolerate that. All right. You're come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a numerous company of messengers or angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. That's what it says. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. What's now? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of Springer that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. But not from Sinai. But now hold it. You've come to God the judge. Now there again, your thoughts are going to bother you. You're going to draw your own conclusions. Why don't you just give yourself a break? Just give yourself a break. Just let your own thinking go for a while. Don't draw conclusions. Just accept it. Hey, great. Isn't that nice? What can we learn about that?
Amen.
What lovely good thing can come out of this? Now, you weren't thinking that way. Because everyone, you're scared to about judge. Because you've been caught speeding too many times on the road. Knocking down farmers' fences. I know what you're thinking, don't worry. Doesn't say that. To Jesus the mediator. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Judge! Speaking in the Son. No, just keep your thoughts. Same yesterday, today, and forever. God became a son. It wasn't that there's three gods. God took a form of flesh, and he doesn't change. Now, whose voice then shook the earth? But now promising, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the moving of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. God, judge, speaking, kingdom. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with a reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Judge, enveloped in fire. All you got to do is just believe what the prophet said. See how easy it is? Notice how this dovetails with Daniel. Certainly the kingdoms are shaken down. It's all over. Right to the end. And at the end there was a judge. And he was in two places.
premillennial, postmillennial. And he was the same one. And his hair was white. It was a wig. Daniel 7 is Revelation 1, 12 to 18. Is all the verses I read. Notice Genesis 18 and 25. And compare it with Malachi 4, 1 to 3. All right? Genesis 18. That's what I wrote down here. Verse 25. Far be it from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Come on, Malachi 4. Now you can be way ahead of me right now. I forgive you. Because if you can't see this now, God have pity. I've wasted all these years here talking to who knows what. All right, listen. We'll read it. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the sun arise your eyes with healing in his wings. You'll go forth and go up as calves of stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes on the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. What was he? Judge. Okay, very nice. Now I hope you notice that Genesis 18 and 25 is Genesis 18, 1 to 2. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre as he sat in the door in the heat of the tent. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw, he ran to meet them from the tent and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord.
Amen.
God in the form of a man. A judge. One like a human being. That means the form he took, not fire, man.
Amen.
Now here's the question. Not just a question, but here's what you got to look at. See, don't try to get sequences and don't try to get chronology. Just understand this, that God Almighty can be in a man today, in a pillar of fire tomorrow, in a cloud the next time, or a whirlwind, or a voice. See, people try to stereotype God and it won't work. There is no stereotyping, just one stereotyping alone. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never ceases doing things the way he did them. There's no way. See? All right. Now, just keep this all in mind while we sort of insert something here to help us. In other words, we're going to talk around and get back to it. We want to talk about this great Elohim of the role. The great Elohim of the drama, acting out by a mask in a drama of life. Okay, back in Acts 9, 3 to 7. Now here we are, part of the drama. He's outworking something. He's engaged himself in the outworking of this tremendous purpose and plan. Third verse, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and stoned, he said, Lord, what do you have me to do? The Lord says, Arise, and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. And then the men which journeyed with him were stood speechless, hearing a voice. In other words, they heard like the reverberation, but they had no way of telling. Except they knew it was like the voice of a man. They didn't hear what it said. Galatians, the first chapter. All right. 11 and 12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself, revealing himself, brought the gospel. That's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. We won't have time to read it, but I didn't come to you, he said, in the man's wisdom and man's words, but I came to you in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, showing you categorically that what I had received, I had received of God. Notice how he puts this in 1 Corinthians. This is just for illustration. 11th chapter, verses 1 to 2. And he said, be ye followers of me, even I am also of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And the 23rd verse, for I have received also of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. In other words, everything he got through this revelation from God in the pillar of fire, he distinctly put into the gospel and delivered it to every single person with whom he came in contact. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, notice the authority that he uses. Verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now, he told them he delivered it to them. They didn't get it. If any man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I run into are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, if he doesn't know how the word of God comes, he's ignorant, let him be that way. If they can't savvy the prophet, if they simply will not stop and recognize the way God does things, he's ignorant, leave him, get away from him. Stupid is stupid. And God never put a premium on stupidity or ignorance.
Amen.
Not when he tells us he gave us his own wisdom and his own knowledge. Boy, that puts you up in the God class. Not in some insane institution. We're the only ones that do have our minds. See? With that, 1 Corinthians 2, we'll go back to that now. 9 to 13. Paul telling you, but as is written, I have not seen nor heard, neither in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared them love him. Now those things are there, but God hath revealed them by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now that tells you the things that God hath prepared, which is not essentially mansions in glory. It's the plan and the process of redemption and that which is kindred to it. Now God wants you and me to know them. And those are the deep things of God. For what man knows the things man says, the Spirit of man's in him. Even so the things of God doesn't any man know but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world but the Spirit which is of God. And Paul is talking of himself. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, speaking in the editorial we. Then they in turn spoke the same thing, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Your theological seminaries won't do this to you, they'll botch you up.
Amen.
The Jews had to learn a new theology, so do you and I have to learn a new theology, and so did every church age have to learn a new theology.
Absolutely. You had to know God all over again.
You see, you mean to tell me you're saying tonight that we're the only ones that know Him?
Well, if this Bible means anything and we're right, that's the truth. If it isn't, well, who cares?
Amen.
Amen.
Just forget everything. Drop, just forget it.
Look, you either got to come to the place where we believe or don't believe. Because God hates the lukewarm. Didn't say he hated the cold. Didn't say he hated the hot. He didn't get nauseated by the cold old boy out there. Got nauseated by the lukewarm gink. Sure, because if you want to vomit, the doctor gives you lukewarm water. Get a lukewarm word here. Makes God want to throw up. Which things we also speak and not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, the Word of God absolutely dovetails, and you never go outside the Scripture with the Word. You stay only with the Scripture. They started doing back in the first church age. I've got the books. Early church fathers, they said, hey, isn't it wonderful how the resurrection is symbolized in the phoenix bird? The phoenix bird, you know, he comes up in Egypt. He's born down there. Flies up to Asia Minor. Lives his life there. And then you know what he does? It's time to die. He goes down back to Egypt. And then in Egypt, he sits in a hollow log or somewhere. And he dies. And there's a worm inside eats him. And this beautiful worm then takes the feathers on the phoenix bird, and he goes flies back to Asia Minor. Hogwash! Might as well prove this by Pinocchio.
You laugh, but Jim had the experience of being a prayer preacher with preaching about this message through Pinocchio. I bet some preachers would make pretty good Pinocchios. Oh, brother, sister, how ridiculous can the world get? Here's the Word of God open before us, clear and clear every single day. But they're just too, they just can't listen though, no. They can't listen. Well, alright, let's keep going now. 13th verse, I read it. Now we're going to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and I'm going to put it together for you. Because that's why I stopped to insert this little thing and put it together for you. Alright. The 4th verse, there's one body, one spirit, even you call it, one hope you're calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all is above all and through all and in you all. Now, Paul starts with him and the Holy Ghost, God in the form of a spirit. The same Jesus. Now listen, Jesus was not Jehovah's Savior except God was in him because no man can be God of himself.
Amen.
He's called the last Adam, the second man. There's only one way he could be Jehovah's Savior. Jehovah's Savior would have to be in him. He was given his Father's name. But God came down and indwelled him. Paul saw that same one as the same yesterday and forever. Met him face to face and talked face to face and said, listen, I want to tell you something. I received the revelation straight from him and I gave it straight to you.
Great.
See? Now listen to what he says over here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 7. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first. In the lower parts of the earth. He had to go down before he went up. Now it says, he that descended is the same that ascended. He came back in a pillar of fire. The great inseminator came back at Pentecost and a cloud of fire spread over them. And dropped his Holy Ghost sperm on the eggs that were there.
Amen.
I got to meditate the other night about Brother Branham who said there's no life in the female egg. There's no life. I thought, now that isn't really right. I can't really buy that for this reason. If there's no life, the egg could be rotten. Huh, it's not true. Prophet's right. Sperm can't fertilize rotten egg. Sperm fertilized fresh egg, but there's no life that hits it. So you and I were dead in trespasses and sins of the Holy Ghost hit us. By way of the blood. Then joined back to him. That happened at Pentecost. But the great father, the sire, was there dropping that life-giving sperm. Now, that one came to Paul personally after Pentecost. All right. Now, here's what he says here. He that ascended, having first of all died and descended, came back on earth as the Holy Ghost that he might fill all things. Now watch. And he gave apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors to perfect the saints. See? All right. For the edifying the body of Christ, that's building the body up. Can we all come in unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God under a perfect man, to the measure of stature of fullness of Christ? Now it tells you that this ministry of the Holy Spirit in word officers who administer the word positively is responsible for the body coming together until not one more can come in. The fullness has come. And on top of that, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning crafts whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, grow up unto him in all things.
Praise the Lord.
See?
which is the head, even Christ, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part maketh increase the body, identifying itself in love. It says that one, the Father, returning to the mess of the pillar of fire, germatized every single believer that's to come in through the office of the Word in officers that are predestinated. And it all comes down from Him. So therefore, when it all comes down, there's no more to come down. The last one is in a child train. Now, what I want you to notice is this. Notice how we went from the Holy Spirit in the prophet by the Word, that's Paul, to the fullness, or all the, you can take this back plumb ages. You can see how God, Holy Spirit, was in each prophet by the Word until Jesus Christ came in a full body. You can bring it to this age, where the Holy Spirit came to Paul and gave the Gentiles the entire Word for this age. And now, in this age, there is a fivefold ministry ordained by God to keep the light shining. God in a man. God in the Word. Now, God was in Paul. God was in Jesus. God was in the prophets. God is in the Word. Now, it's that Word that God is in. God the prophet veiled in and man of, and God the prophet veiled in a man prophet. And God living in His own Word, bringing to pass His own prophetic Word in a bride, making her in her own predestination, the living Word of God manifested. Now, I know that's kind of hard to get that, so I got to go over it. All right, look. God the prophet veiled in a man prophet, because there's no prophet outside of God. There's nobody. His brother Branham said, the words of man won't do this. The words of man won't bring this to pass. Look, no man can talk of himself. The Bible warns you, a prophet right off the bat has got to come and give you the absolute sign of utter prediction in the name of the Lord, and the thing come to pass. Now you know God's talking. Why? That's to prove everything that God said is going to come to pass from that time on. And God is responsible for whatever that man says, because that man cannot say anything but what God tells him to say. So, God the prophet veiled in a man prophet. And that God living in His own Word. See? Bringing to pass His own prophetic Word in a bride. Because that's what it says in Ephesians. See? The Holy Ghost in Word ministries, bringing them in, causing them to grow up unto Him. Which conclusion is known as perfection. There's no more to come. It's sealed. It's polished. It's ready for delivery. It's grown right up unto Him so that He can actually lift us up in the air and He'll fit right on top of the pyramid.
Right.
You see? Now, go over it again. God the prophet veiled in a man prophet. And that God living in His own Word, bringing to pass His own prophetic Word in a bride, making her in her own predestination the living Word of God manifested. Because that's what she's predestinated to. Come on, let's prove it. Well, I'll give you just a second. Just hold that. See? God predestinating Himself and His role and identifying with man. God Himself enters into predestination. Virgin shall be with child, and I'm going to take that virgin-born child living in. That's predestination. That's election. Jesus in the election. He didn't just pick any virgin. She came down in two series. She had to come all the way from Adam, but particularly to Abraham. Trace her back in the book of Luke. All the way back to Adam, and but in Matthew, all the way back to Abraham. See? Showing how Jesus came. Now watch this dispensation explained in Ephesians 1:14. Now, I hope I'm not losing you. I'm going to try to get this together for you the best I can, because I don't want to lose you in this understanding of how God is working out His own predestination and identified with the predestination of the bride, whose identity and destiny is one. Because they're all going to be gathered together in Christ and back in God. So we can all see I came from God and I go back to God. Now, watch this dispensation explained. That's what I was going to tell you about in Ephesians 1:1-14. So let's look at it. Now this dispensation I mentioned here that we brought you to the fact of the prophet, God in the prophet, bringing the word, God living in his own word. Therefore, the living word in the bride, she becomes a living word of God manifested. Now, he's fulfilling in her predestination. He's fulfilling in her his predestination. Coming right into it. Paul and the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, the saints which are at Ephesus, and through the faith in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, but blessed with all spiritual blessing in heaven and faith in Christ. According. And no other way. As he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to good pleasure his will. To the praise and glory of his grace when he made accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. When he has bounded toward us in all prudence and wisdom, and having made known us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he wrought and purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now see, there it is. I'm going to bring them together. In whom we also attained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise and glory first hoped in Christ, in whom ye also hoped after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye received this Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, notice, Ephesians 4:15-16 runs out in Ephesians 1:13-14. Let's look at it. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effects of working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's all over. See? Now, Ephesians 4:15-16 runs out. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in whom you hope, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe you receive the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the possession unto praise his glory. Now, that ministry goes. It has to go because that's where the fivefold ministry carries the people and no further. It carries him right up to him. It's over. Now the Holy Spirit's been in a prophet. See? The one man with that word. The word goes to the ministry. And there's lots of ministries too. Don't think it's just with fivefold. But we're hitting the fivefold because that's where the word is. Now the living word in them reaches out and catches all these. And brings them to the place of the perfecting and the concluding, which has to bring them to Christ. But it only brings them to redemption. And it's over. It's a temporary thing. Now don't forget that. This being so, this now calls for Ephesians 1:15-19. Now let's read it. Wherefore? Because of this. And this runs out. After I also heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love and all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what his hope is calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according the working mighty power which he wrought in Christ and raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand. Now that's the resurrection and rapture. After the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out, After the last person is brought in, it's over. Something has got to happen. God has something to happen to bring about the resurrection. So what happened? The Spirit of God comes back in a special ministry to the entire body, which previously was the confrontation of God with every individual believer. But this does not require the individual confrontation. That's over. This requires God Himself in a body. And that's all the members in. Because the next step, it says right here, is to raise the dead and put him up there where he is. Now, if it's the same power, it's going to do the same thing. It's going to get the dead out of the ground. It's going to change the living. It's going to take us right up where he is. Now, as Jesus was on the right hand of God, when God incarnates himself in Jesus for the wedding supper, the bride will sit on his right hand. Now we're waiting for that hour. That hour is here. Now watch what I'm trying to bring to your attention. Starting way back at the first of the message, I said we're going to divert. The changing of the role. Because we talked about the drama, as Brother Branham did. The changing of the role from Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 to Ephesians 1, 17, 18 is not now John 10, 24 to 30. Let's go back to John 10. Now you listen carefully because I'm going to try my best to show you this exactly as I see it from the Word. Then came the Jews round about and said, how long do you make us out? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. I told you. You didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they tell you the same thing. But you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Just like I said to you. Now I said, my sheep don't have a bit of trouble. They hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. He knows who's following. Foundation of God stands firm. This is the Lord knows them, she is. And I give unto the eternal life and they shall never perish. He said, man, pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them, he is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father one. The Jews took up stones to stone him. Now, Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 is not now that which we read in John. But it is John 5, 20 to 27, particularly verse 27. Now let's watch. John 5. You see where how Brother Branham used his scripture? I like the same scripture. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he doeth. Let himself do it. And he will show him greater works than these that ye might marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment to the Son. Now watch what he's saying here. He quickens and raises the dead. And he does not do it as the Lamb. He is not doing it as the high priest. This has to do when he's judge. You follow me? Sure, it's too simple. The Word wouldn't believe that for 1 minute. They say, oh, you're crazy. Well, I wouldn't doubt that for 1 minute. I lost my mind and got hit. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which is in me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not go into the judgment. But it's passing death to life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now, is in the dead, hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, and so he hath given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Why was he given authority? Because he is the Son of Man. Holy! it has to be way down the road. Way down the road. Before the millennium and after the millennium. So what's he got to be just before the millennium? Son of Man. Now you tell me Scripture doesn't dovetail. I tell you, you don't know your Bible. But you wouldn't tell me anyway, would you know? Verse 27, given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And I turned and saw a judge. Yeah. And he had a role. There was somebody standing there that had a role. Yeah. At the end time. Okay. John 5:27 is actually Luke 17. Beginning at verse 20, when he was demanding the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is already in the midst of you. He said, disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of Son of Man, and you'll not see it, but somebody else will. He said, they're going to kill the Son of Man. But the days will repeat. As they were in the days of Noah, the days of the fire before Sodom. He comes back as the Son of Man, and he's judge. Follow?
Amen.
Yep. Even thus it will be in the day when he is revealed. In the day of the apocalypse, the prophet will say, the judge, the one that was the life of the bride for 2,000 years, the one that was the high priest, is now judge, the same one. The same one that came down in the pillar of fire, disseminating himself. The same one that stood there singly in his pillar of fire and talked to Paul. The same one who anoints in ministries, lives in his word where the ministries are, that same one has to come back as a pillar of fire, has to come back before the millennium, and he'd be the same judge that sits on the white throne after the millennium. But he's not sitting now, he's standing. And he is a judge, and it has to come before the kingdom, in the hour of the resurrection, and he stands there as judge. Now don't let your mind go wandering again, just keep it there. Just be satisfied you heard the truth, and let it sit. Now, Luke 17, back in Jesus' day, was John 11 and 25. Now that's when he was the Son of Man, standing on earth in flesh. Was 11 and 25. I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But now, and that was, by the way, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. Anybody full of the Holy Ghost had the absolute feeling that they would be in the resurrection. Romans 8, same thing. You can't change it. You're sealed the day of the redemption, of the resurrection. But it is now John 11:26. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe this. That's Ephesians 1:19. Let's go back. Here's the Spirit. Cease not to give thanks. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ give you the Spirit. First of all, revelation. Prophet. Now, judge. for the resurrection. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling you any books in the Bible. I just had the prophecy. But I'm trying to clear it to get your minds in a certain channel away from the channel you once had your minds in. Because you got to give up your own thinking. I don't care what your theology was. You listen today, you get the real theology. And I'm not kidding you. People say, who is Gene Garfield? I'm Lee Bim. Sinner saved by grace. I'm the man of the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony to Jesus Christ. I will not witness falsely.
Praise the Lord.
Telling you, friend. Your baptism with the Holy Ghost, my brother, sister, only gets you this far. Now, who got you this far? God by insemination. Insemination does not raise dead bodies. Insemination guarantees there'll be a body. Yeah? Right. How about how do you get babies? Now, they came by sex, right? It was all wrong. Now, God will create anew from the dust. The baptism with the Holy Ghost in you, as that germatization, merely guarantees it, but does not do it. Now, what is the one that is Holy Spirit that stands here at that day, in the day of the Lord? Judge. Now, you see, you don't let your thoughts go because you've been caught feeding. That's the worst thing you can do. Because everybody gets thinking his own thoughts, and you better not think your own thoughts. You better go to the Bible, because it says the Holy Ghost calls you to compare spiritual things with spiritual, makes you to see in the Word of God, through the Word of God, by the Holy Ghost, what He wants you to see, not in some lousy stinking judge's court. It hasn't got the brains of a baboon, or the morals of a tomcat. So don't let your minds go. Bring it back to the Word. Nice thought, isn't it? Back in John 5 and John 11, he was the great prophet soon to become Lamb. Or great redeemer prophet. That was the map. What day of the day? Judge! Let's go to Acts 17. 30-32. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Wherever He hath given assurance unto all men that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection, they mocked and said, well, maybe. We're not convinced. Could be sometime. But not this thing. I'm putting it for this hour. They mocked.
Yeah.
Now, you notice what it said here? He put the judge and the resurrection right together. Then if there's a judge in view, resurrection's around the corner. See? Now, that's the truth. I'm giving you the truth. Acts 26. Let's go back where Paul gives his testimony. I like these scriptures because they're scripture. Scripture's word of God.
Amen.
Beginning at verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? Now, Paul's judged for the resurrection. Well, we haven't got into this yet. Wait till Sunday. I don't think I can even preach what I'm going to preach in one sermon. I better not. The Bible's full of it. I verily thought with myself I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them in a strange city. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journey with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying, the Hebrew tongue, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard to kick against the prick. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon thy feet. I appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, of the things which, in the which I will appear unto thee, or plainly show myself. The pillar of fire came off him. Stood right there with Paul. Delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles. That's from the Hebrews, the tribes, and from the Gentiles, heathen, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and Jerusalem, and through all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. And for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now what works would a Jew do? Quit the law and the tabernacle entirely, turn to God and serve God the right way, through the Word. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other than things that those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. All right. Elohim Jehovah in a pillar of fire proved the resurrection of Jesus, for the same one in flesh spoke and identified and proved he was that plain, and that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same identified one is here proving his resurrection. Because that's what the prophet said. If he's risen from the dead and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he'll do the same thing. What was he proving? His resurrection. Then if he's proving his resurrection, what is he? Judge. But that's not everything he is. That's one of the things he is. See? And that lies in him. And if it lies in him, it's got to be exposed and demonstrated. He can't help himself. You can't help being what you are. No way. All right, proving his resurrection. His eternality. And even allowing his picture to be taken to show that he is judge. Yes. First he was ringed by a pillar of fire. Next he was ringed by seven mighty angels forming his wings. Yes. In a great manifestation across the nation. Now, what makes a man a judge? His specialized knowledge and his ability to apply that knowledge according to the truth of that knowledge. I'll read it again. What makes a man a judge? His specialized knowledge and his ability to apply that knowledge according to the truth of that knowledge. Who knows the Word as the Word himself? Who can reveal and apply the Word as the Word giver? That is the why of Exodus 24:16-18, 18:14, and so on. Let's go look at them. We're going to go back to Exodus 24. We read that the other day. 16-18. All right, starting here. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went to the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount in the pillar of fire, stood right there for 40 days and 40 nights. All right, Exodus 18. That's going back a bit. That doesn't matter, though. That's just to get our thoughts a little more congealed here. Okay? Here we find Jethro. 14th verse. 18th chapter of Exodus. And when Moses' father-in-law, that's Jethro, saw what he did to the people, he said, why is this thing that thou doest to the people? What is this thing? Why do you sit here alone and the people stand from morning till night? Moses said, because the people come to me and inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between them, between one another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and the laws of God. Now, what made him a judge? He was a prophet with the Word. He was the one with the Word. He was automatically a judge. He couldn't help being a judge. Neither can God help being a judge. Because he's the Word. But remember, he manifests on certain occasions. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel 7. In chapter 15, 7 and verse 15, I beg your pardon. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. the prophet. Let's go to Acts 3. <clears throat> 19b. We always start there. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto you, a prophet, your Lord, your God raised up unto you, of your brethren like unto me, him you'll hear in all things whatever you say unto you, and it'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. A prophet judging and finalizing. Setting everything in order. All right. Going on down. And it'll come to pass that every soul not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. And all the prophets of Samuel, those that follow after, as many heard and spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. What days? The days that were past, the days that were to come. Now, you're the children of the prophet, the covenants of God, the covenant which God made of their fathers, saying unto Abraham, and thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now listen. Let's understand this. This has to do with that which is previous to the millennium. So they're talking of the prophet judge. You cannot separate the prophet from the judge and the judge from the prophet. At no time. Won't work. now you positively can have no problem here seeing Malachi 4:1-6. Behold, the day cometh it. And all that shall burn is up, and all the proud ye that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the sun arise your eyes, healing his wings. You'll go forth and grip his calves to stall. You'll tread down the wicked, and there'll be ash on the sole of your feet. The day that I do this, saith the Lord. And he said he's going to do it. Now, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, where I command him in Horeb, for all Israel with statute and judgment. You couldn't be a prophet without being judged. You couldn't be a judge without being a prophet. Even Deborah had to be a prophetess to judge Israel. That was politics. No way. Without the word, there is no judgment. And there's no word without a prophet. You see, all these years, we have been without a prophet. There couldn't be one till this hour. Because the first time a prophet appears on the scene, that's the judge. That would show that the bride was completely finished. The bride isn't finished. She's being finished now. Alright. Behold, I send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dead day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the father, the heart, because this is already part done, that first part, the heart of the children of their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth the curse. Alright. The prophet now becomes the judge. You see, God can be one of his many names and titles, acting it out over different periods of time, yet never could he be the Lamb but once. Now that's one thing you'll never do again. No more. It is then mediation and intercession. He is the high priest for that purpose. But notice, as Melchizedek, which is priest and king, he could repeat that many times. As often as he necessarily wanted to do it. He could be prophet any time he wanted. And in being a prophet, he automatically is judged. Now, he couldn't be prophet until the end time. Why? Because there can't be resurrection in the end time. He was already the prophet that brought forth the resurrection already. So when he comes on the scene as that judge, he is absolutely going to perform a resurrection. Now, so we have seen him as prophet. And once he is prophet, he is judge. He is here in this hour. He is here now. He is judging between all things by interpreting the word to us, which becomes doctrine and decision. Why decision? Because a judge can't make a decision without doctrine. Or knowledge. Correct knowledge of the statutes of the word. See? That's why there must be the correct doctrine in the land before the decision can be brought forth. That is Revelation 22 and 10. He said, "Me seal not the sayings of prophecy's book, for the time is at hand." The full word's got to be in view. And it's got to be unsealed, and unsealing doesn't mean simply ripping off the label so you can take a peek. It means revelation.
Amen.
Because unsealing is unveiling. It means the word is brought into full view so that the doctrine is set. For no judge can make a decision outside of the full understanding of the doctrine. Now listen, where it came from and where it's going. And Brother Branham did exactly that under the Holy Ghost. Took us right back, exactly like Moses, right back into history, and then brought us right up to this point and said, see, here, fill it in. Now, there it is. Decision. It could not be judged until the word was absolutely restored. And nobody could restore the word but Elijah. God became his own restorer because he said, "I will restore, Elijah will restore." So there stood the prophet in the man form. And God in the pillar of fire form stood there. Remember Horeb. Without Horeb, Moses could not have judged. And the judge is placed before the millennium after the millennium. All right, we got it all laid out before us. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. "I test every man that heareth the words of prophecy's book. If any man add, God will add the plagues. Any man take away, out goes his name." Exactly right. See? There it is, the word set in order automatically. You got it set before it. It is once more 1 Corinthians 14, 36 to 38. We're right back to it. Paul the Apostle. And he said here in this book, what came the word of God out from me, or came it unto you only? What Bible school do you go to have the answers? Why, if any man's got the Holy Ghost or is a prophet, the first thing he'll know is the way God operates. Somebody's got to be there that God can get to. Of God's own choosing. Of God's own birthing. A predestinated individual for the hour. He's called Elijah. Then the word will come forth. And the people will understand this is the word of God. And the rest are just called ignorant. Like one man once said, in the word of God, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God doesn't take time to argue. He just calls him a fool and walks on. And at this late hour, God just calls a man ignorant. He said, if he's ignorant, then be ignorant.
Amen.
He said, if you can't catch this, he said, you're finished. If you can't catch this, you haven't got it. If you can't say amen to every word, you don't have the Holy Ghost. There's no way. We're once more right back there. All right. Now starting to wind down, which is about time. We go to page 74. Notice how carefully I use my words, starting to wind down. Just in case you breathe a sigh of relief. Forget it. Page 74, the breach. Now you see, I'm not making that up. That's what it's thus saith the Lord. I read it to you out of the book. The sounding of the seventh angel's message. The mystery of God should be finished has been declared by his holy prophet. That's the prophets who wrote the word. There's no more prophets. There's no more coming over. There's nobody else to bring us something. Last prophet. At the sound of the seventh church age, the last church age, all loose ends that through those church ages have been probed, that will be wound up together. And when the seals are broken, the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, setting his foot upon land and upon sea with a rainbow over his head. Now remember, the seventh angel is on the earth at the time of this coming. I said this coming. That's the coming that is not even a coming. It's a meeting. We're going. It isn't that he's coming
We're going. Yeah. That's what people, that's the coming people talk about. Brother Brandon talked about it too. No, he said the time of this coming. And the Lord descends with a shout. I learned something today. I finally found out that a certain preacher is still living that was down there at the river on June the 17th, 1933. And he saw the rainbow over the pillar of fire who came down. Yeah. I want to go down and see the fellow. Just as John was giving his message, the same time the Messiah came in the days, John knew he would see him because he was going to introduce him. And we realize that in the scripture over in Malachi 4, there's to be one like John and Elijah, to whom the word of the Lord can come to, and he is to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God and restore the faith of children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers, restore back all those mysteries that have been probed at through denominational years. Now, that's what the Word said. I'm just responsible for what it says, see? It's written. That's right. That's what it is. He's talking my language, except he's polite. I can't stand polite people. They show me up. I hate to be showing up. No, I was just kidding. He does a real sweet job. Now, but he wasn't fooling. Now we see that this seventh sealed book is the mystery of redemption. It is a book of redemption from God. Now, all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. Now, here's the angel on earth, and another angel, mighty messenger, came down. See, this angel was an earthly angel, messenger. But here comes one down from heaven, a rainbow covenant seed. See, he saw that rainbow. Only Christ it could be just exactly as it was. Now, listen carefully and get this. Now, you listen. I'm going to read again. Now, here's the angel on earth, and another angel, mighty messenger, came down. See, this angel was an earthly angel, messenger, but here comes one down from heaven, a rainbow covenant, see? Only Christ it could be, just exactly like it was in Revelation chapter 1, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with a rainbow to look upon as jasper and sardius. It doesn't say one thing about a rainbow in the first chapter. It's in the fourth chapter. So who's in the midst of the candlestick? Not the man. The one that was in the man.
Amen.
That's been giving the life. And if Jesus hadn't been sitting there, that God that we honor and worship tonight, knowing that He is here, Elohim is here. Call Him Logos, say what you want. Give Him a million titles. It's the same person. Just changing His man. Listen, if it wasn't for the Lamb on the mercy seat, if it wasn't for the blood, the intermediary work of the mediation of Jesus in intercession, he wouldn't be in the branch. Now, at the end time, he's got a role to play. And that's the role of the judge. God himself, judge. Rainbow over his head. Covenant messenger. God his own messenger. God interposing himself down here, doing the work of a judge. And people get scared stiff, and I'm not the least scared. No? Not the least scared. I'm happy, happy, happy. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I've lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Wouldn't know how to be sad. There it is, the great judge. The prophet turned judge. The prophet is the judge. I don't care if God's teacher, apostle, prophet, and the whole bit. He's judge. And I don't care if he's judge. He's still redeemer. And I don't care if he's redeemer. He's still coming king. As Irenaeus said, hundreds of titles, but one God. I got a book at home. I couldn't find it. When I try to find something, never can find it. It's a book by Stone. It's all the names of God. Great big thick book like this. I don't bother even looking at it. So I said I couldn't find it. Who needs it? All right, listen. Prophet turned judge? No. He already was judge. He's coming forth in his role. Now, the prophet who is God, who is judge. That is the prophet who is God is judge. And why not, in the light of Revelation, Psalm 119, let's just read the first seven verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precept diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes, forsake me not. Listen. Law. Testimony. Precepts. Statutes. Commandments. Judgments. It's all the same thing. The great lawgiver is the only one who could be the judge. Nobody else could. And that one who was in the form of a man said, he's judged because he is the Son of Man. And he's come amongst us as the Son of Man, which is prophet and judge. And the resurrection is right around the corner. I told you a few weeks ago that from what I knew in my spirit, God quickening the word in me, that's what he told me he would do. Remember over in Quincy, I said the same thing. I said for a long time, I thought because he showed me in the heavens, he would keep doing it then in the earth. And I was fooling myself and puzzling you people until about the fourth Sunday I said, hold it, I've got it. I am not dealing ever with any sign on earth or any sign in heaven. It is the Word. And he told me, as I told you, and I never hold anything back from you. He said, I don't want you looking at anything but what's the bride's. And that is Christ who is the Word. That's the bridegroom. Now, the Word has recently become quickened, which I will tell you about as time goes on. And what has quickened me and started this, which is in my mind, which I'm preaching tonight and preached last Sunday and will continue to preach, is a little thought from the Word that made me know he is here to raise the dead, and the pendulum has swung to the resurrection. You can say what you want. They say, you're not a prophet. No, I'm not a prophet, but he told me to watch the Word. And I watched the Word. See? And that Word will always go to him. If there is any truth in what the prophet said, and I stand before you not as a liar, but a man of at least a certain amount of integrity, there is no way that I'm ever going to tell you anything that's worth a plug nickel that has any truth except when it goes to him. Now, he's here to raise the dead. He is the judge because he is the prophet, because he is the Son of Man. Okay? Now, I've laid the foundation for next Sunday, as well as from last Sunday now, that we'll go right into Sunday's message and show you what that judge is on the grounds that he's dealing with a bride. That's the secret. See? The God who is the Word, who is the prophet, who is the judge, and here amongst us, and has revealed that he is here, the judge of all the earth, who never changes, has appeared in mercy and love. And the next time is destruction. But I'm going to tell you something. Every single time he appears, it's a separation. The one who said, come out of her, my people, could only say that on the grounds that he was judging what was right for us according to his word. So every time you think a prophet from now on, I want you to think a judge. Okay? You follow what I said tonight now? You got a clearer picture? I hope you have. I did my best now to try to follow you through and show you that, as Brother Branham did, look, there's a God who is playing a tremendous role in his own drama. And he predestinated himself in these roles. And he predestinated his children in our roles. And he, dealing with us in his role, is seeing that his predestination and our predestination is identical. So that all things having come from him return to him. And he becomes all and in all. And has taken many roles, as it were, to do it. And the great role at this moment, see, the great role we're looking at the end time, is he stands there as judge. Follow me? Now just don't worry from that point on. Don't worry about trying to second guess me. Figure things out. You can if you want, but you may spoil everything for yourselves by doing this one thing. The minute that you try to let your mind go and go where my mind goes, you're not going to do it. And I've got living proof. If you ever challenge me, and don't do it for your own good, I can name names and attack you right down. That was tried. It won't work. Because you can. See, Brother Branham warned me himself. Keep your nose out of my business. Now, I can come right behind him and teach the same thing. But I cannot go ahead of him. Now, I want you to know this one. You've set in your hearts and minds now. You're at peace with yourself. Look, no matter what it costs you, no matter what it's going to take, you've got to face it. Now, suddenly, each person in this building was suddenly stricken with paralysis. You got to face it. You're paralyzed. What are you going to scream? Tear your hair? You can't. You got to face certain things. And the facing tonight is not one of disaster. It is one of consolation.
Amen.
See? Now, already you know what I'm aiming at, but I want to take facet after facet on the subject on Sunday. This judge, what has he done at this hour? What has he said? What is he doing? Now, remember the prophet said, always looking back, always looking forward, never knows what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. We know what's going on. I'm not saying you're the only one that knows it, but we know what's going on. Okay, the Lord bless you. We can consider yourself dismissed in a minute or two. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your light that you shed upon your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are the judge. Because we know that from Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is quick and powerful. It's the discerner. It's a judge between. And it certainly does. And absolutely discerns thoughts and intents of men's hearts. And all things are open and naked with this judge, the lawgiver, with whom we have to do. And if this being the case, then there could be no judge which is more superior. And you knowing the intent of your word and the intent of the law, that you have written your statutes, your ordinance, all these things, and you in the position to reveal to us that position you hold as the giver of your word and its consequences upon us. Then, Lord, if those consequences that devolve upon us should be, come ye blessed and take over the kingdom prepared. It would have to be the decision of the only judge and the only decision that would ever come to pass. And we're looking at that tonight, Lord, in the happy experience of your presence. And it is the most devastating against fear and doubt. Surely if Daniel was a dissolver of doubts, being a prophet with visions who could recall a king's dream that he forgot, and we saw a man who did it time after time, then, Lord, you in our midst, son of man, prophet, there shouldn't be one person with one speck of doubt anymore. At any time. No way. No way. No way. And we thank you, Lord. And it's just so good that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All around my soul gives way. And assured is thou then at all our hope on then stay in Christ the solid rock of revelation I stand. No place else. We're grateful for it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. What I wanted to say tonight, just before you go, we got our our trustees here, and I wish that you might get together for a few minutes and afterward and sort of plan some worksheets for the different ones who can come and help us to get everything ready because winter's closing in us. The furnace that we ordered will be here tomorrow, tonight already, and it'll be put in. And Steve's working hard to get wood and all, but the parking lot must be graveled up. We don't want people to destroy Brother Evans' property. It's nice enough that he gives us so much liberty here. I feel like, I kind of feel like I own the place, and I don't want to feel that way because that's sure going to be bad for everybody. I wouldn't know how to do things right. So, and you notice, trustees, up how the ceiling is? Now, you're going to have to find out what's doing that. Now, I think what it is, that thing was, wasn't that the fact that we had to sort of cut that off a bit because, don't you think maybe that's done it? I don't know, but see, it's over there too. So now it's not, now you trustees don't have to come to me or call a meeting or do anything. That needs repair. So you just tell somebody to do it. or do it yourselves. Now, that's just that simple. Now, that's all there is to it. And if there isn't any money, let me assure you, I don't think it's going to cost anything anyway, except a little time. But if money's involved, that needs to be done. You tell the people raise the money, and it'll be done, right? Now, that's how the prophet said to do things. Can we do it? We certainly can do it, and we shall do it. It's as good as done, boys. Now, you just tell who's going to do it. So, you go ahead, and you call your worksheets, and you let Steve know, because I got the phone. You're a little, you're in the far country drawing water down there, and Steve's right in my place, and so he can use our phone, and he can phone around, and just say, now, look, we got to have you on such and such a date, do such and such a thing, so now what's your excuse? And if you're not being boiled to death or shot to death the next day, your mother-in-law hasn't come with a bazooka, which you certainly deserve, then you come to work. It's just, so the trustees, that's what you're for. Isn't that wonderful? And the furthermore, we got a man who's sort of a floating deacon. He's also a floating trustee. You call on Dave, he'll back you right through the hill. So we got that surprise, isn't it? I love surprises, especially when it's on the other guy. So therefore, there's no problem. Right? No problem. Because this is the time to do these things. Dorn's been working very hard. We appreciate that. So these things, just get them done, because this mustn't go any further because of this. That looks awful. Man. Now here, a wire, I thought it might be a wire too, but it might be, I thought, just worried about that thing pressing too hard. Now this little set here, I want you to know something. This is a communion set we bought. That first rung of the ladder. See? You just, we're living in the hour when this word is living, see? And look, this word is not going to live outside of a bride.
Amen.
It's got to be. The bride's got, look, she's in the same predestination. In the same election, when God shows flesh, that he brought us right in. See, how are you going to lose?
Amen.
You're a winner. I didn't say sinner. I said you're a winner. Okay, let's rise. Let's sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you, because we're going to not only do that, we're going to believe as we've never believed before. All right, Lloyd, you're here.